It's really the one of the biggest killers in the country, heart disease. My next guest has the solutions, Dr. Joel Fuhrman, New York Times bestselling author, with his new book, The End of Heart Disease, The Eat to Live Plan to Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. Dr. Fuhrman, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
And you've written books, best-selling books like Eat to Live, Super Immunity, and The End of Diabetes. I'm curious, in medical school, how much did you really learn about nutrition coming out?
Well, you know, I went to medical school about, 29 years ago. But, you know, you don't learn much about nutrition in medical school, but even if you did, it wouldn't matter because it would be outdated. And, you know, it's you have to have this as an interest and learn it as a specialty. Like, a person doesn't learn how to do orthopedic surgery in medical school either. They got to pursue it as a specialty. You learn enough to get started, but medical school, so it's really, it's a growing field of interest among many physicians. The American College of Lifestyle Medicine has been exploding in the last 10 years. Doctors have been taking on more nutrition as a specialty, but it definitely is a specialty. It's definitely not the interest of mainstream physicians today. And it's definitely a direction we have to go into,
What led you to focus on nutrition then?
You know, I went to medical school with this purpose of being a specialist in nutritional medicine. And I felt it was where medicine should have gone and should go. Mm-hmm. And it gives you the tools to get people totally well. And because Americans are killing themselves with their diet. You know, it's like you go to a doctor where if you smashed yourself with a hammer in the hand, mm-hmm. and it gives you a pill to take away the pain. The next day you go home and smash it with a hammer again. It's like you're taking your car to the mechanic with the oil light flashing on the dashboard. And the mechanic reaches in there and cuts the wire with a wire clipper so you can't see it flashing. The point I'm making, drugs don't make people better. They just cover things up.
So why is it that many times doctors don't talk about nutrition?
Yeah, it's a really great question, but I think it has to do with the way there's too many factors involved with that, the development of the drug industry and how doctors are paid and reimbursed. We have to spend much time with people, and it's responding to the demand of what people want. People want a magic pill. They don't want to change their lifestyle. If you never had any medication, maybe doctors have to grab you by the neck and smack your head against the wall and say you got to drop 10 pounds this month, you got to eat vegetables, cut the salt out of your diet, stop eating the processed foods. I've got to see your blood pressure come down. They'd have no choice. But now we give people a prescription, which I call a permission slip. It just gives people permission to do the same lifestyle and diet that caused the problem to develop in the first place. And it just gets worse and worse until they drop dead 20 years prematurely.
So you tell your patient you need to radically change their diet. How often does that really work to get them to change?
Well, it doesn't work if you just say that to a person. There's an art in getting people to change. And I find that from my experience of the last 25 years, that the people who are most fully educated about two things. Number one, that the drugs are dangerous. That the actual risk incorporated with taking those medications like statin causing, doubling the risk of invasive breast cancer, causing weight gain, increasing risk of diabetes and weakening muscles, including the heart muscle. And once they knew that these things are not free, you pay a significant price in lifespan. Blood pressure medications, but then if they know how proven and how powerfully effective, and you can't compare the efficacy, the results you get to reverse your high blood pressure, melt it away, normalize your cholesterol, open up the heart, get rid of the obstructions without surgery or angioplasty. So, the point is nutrition is incredibly more powerful.
Are you saying statins and blood pressure medications are dangerous themselves? Or?
Yes. I'm saying, for example, a recent study showed that women on calcium channel blockers, a common blood pressure medication, that double the risk of breast cancer after 10 years. I'm saying that if people knew the true risks and how truly dangerous these medications were, that millions more people would be more likely inclined to be willing to change their diet. And if they also knew all the studies showing how effective dietary therapy is and how much more powerfully protected against stroke and heart attack and life extending it was. For example, I just published a recent study in the October 15th issue, that's 2015, of course, of the American Journal of Lifestyle Medicine, which showed that the nutritarian diet dropped systolic blood pressure 26 points. That's more powerful than drugs. Okay. But the effect, and it showed the reversal.
It requires a certain amount of discipline, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. You don't get something for nothing, for sure.
I'm talking to Dr. Joel Fuhrman, his brand new book, The End of Heart Disease, The Eat to Live Plan to Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. Now, when you talk about reversing heart disease, how does that work exactly?
Well, just like a person can get gastric bypass due to their obesity, and they can get rid of their diabetes when they get thinner because they lose weight. Well, the same thing's true without gastric bypass. And people eat a lot of vegetables. It's like a natural bypass. In other words, you start losing weight. Mm-hmm. We flood the body with high nutrient foods. It reduces inflammation. It takes away your appetite. People drop large amounts of weight. They lose the fat. When you lose the fat on your body, you also can lower your cholesterol naturally, right, and lose the cholesterol buildup. The most vulnerable plaque in the heart that causes heart attacks, those plaques recede and get smaller, and you open the blood to flow, reducing the risk of having a clot or having an obstructive event.
The plaques, because you can have plaques in the heart, right, without being heavy, right? That can happen just on its own. I think I'm right in saying that. What happens? What happens to the plaque? Where does it all go?
Well, just like I was giving the example of where the fat goes, it doesn't go in the air. We burn it for energy. In other words, we're utilizing those calories as a source of fuel.
Okay.
And cholesterol deposits on the inside of the blood vessels are removed from a lot of different ways, but especially when you eat green vegetables, especially when you eat leafy greens, a lot of green vegetables in your diet.
Yeah.
We know that your risk of vulnerable plaque is proportional to the amount of greens you consume. The lower risk of greens, people are at a very high risk because it's not just the lutein. It's also those phytochemicals in green vegetables.
Let me ask you about the diets, because I think everyone agrees vegetables are good, but you've got the low-carb folks, right? They're all about eating meats and things like that. Then you got the vegetarians on the other side. So in terms of your view, who's closer to the truth?
Well, I'd like to say I could give my opinion, but I don't think that this should be based on opinion. It should be based on fact. And the studies that are done, the long-term studies show no controversy here at all, that the more animal products you eat in the diet, the higher risk of cardiovascular death. That's to think otherwise is just still burying your head in the sand. For example, a recent study of 129,000 people studied for 22 years, published in British Medical Journal, showed that as they rated each person's diet on a 1 to 20 scale, 20 would be most animal products, least carbohydrate. 1 would be most vegetables, least animal products. And every point you went up, heart attack rates went up 6%. Above 16 at a 60% higher risk of heart attack death than the people
below 6. So what do you think of this, the popularity now of these low-carb diets?
I think the people advocating that are irresponsible, and they should be put in jail and maybe tortured with matches under the fingernails.
Let me ask you about sugar. Is it the worst?
I didn't even get a laugh out of you there.
Well, I'm not sure some would disagree with you. Tell me this. Is sugar the worst substance for human beings?
Yes. High glycemic carbohydrates have shown to be worse. And that's why these people are writing like butter is back, saturated fat's okay, meat's good. Just because you prove that sugar and white flour are worse doesn't make those things good. You follow me? In other words, we have to sort of take that sugar out and replace it with something. But instead of eating more meat, you got to eat more beans and more greens and more fruits and more nuts and more seeds and more natural fats. One of the biggest things people can do to reduce the risk of heart attack is switching the fat from oil and animal products into more nuts and seeds, which are also high-fat foods. The whole foods like walnuts and sesame seeds and almonds have dramatic effects to lower cardiovascular risk and reduce risk of sudden cardiac death.
Well, I need to ask you then, what about the argument that, look, we as animals, we evolved for millions of years eating a lot of animal products, and that's our kind of our natural food to eat biologically? Well, how do you respond to that?
Well, every anthropologist knows that that's not true. We're descendants from the primates, the other gorillas and chimpanzees, other primates. No primates. We have the same structure, essentially, of the digestive tract of body. No early humans, except in weird parts of the world where they couldn't grow vegetables, like in the Arctic or up in the northern ranges. And as they did eat, as the Eskimos and people did go eat more animal products in some areas of the world, they had much shorter lifespans. Primates don't live long, and all high animal product eating populations, including animal product eating populations, animals die young. So we know that that's just ridiculous. But on the other things, it doesn't even matter if it was true. It's irrelevant because throughout human history, we only had to survive long enough to reproduce the species. And whatever promoted reproduction, was. Mm-hmm. But here we're talking about living into our 90s and 100 years old without deteriorating or aging faster. And we know that the studies are incontrovertible. In other words, not debatable that those diets lead to shortened lifespan.
So the diet you're proposing, what kind of lifespan is someone going to have eating the way you're proposing in your new book, The End of Heart Disease?
And don't forget, I'm not saying that everybody has to be a vegan. I'm saying you have to reduce animal products from approximately 30% to close to 10% or less. Mm-hmm. So we have to eat less animal products, not more, as we add more. And the other, replacing those refined carbohydrates, of course, with the unrefined natural plant foods. So you were asking me the question.
In terms of lifespan, what kind of numbers do people...
I think that I think that the average American now lives to be around 79, 80. We can push that to around 95, 100. So I certainly think that we can certainly, and the bell-shaped curve is so wide that half the people die between 60 and 78. And we can make almost everybody live past 85. We can narrow the bell-shaped curve.
Okay.
In other words, we can give people a better quality of life and not be medically dependent. Right now we have people in nursing homes and being dependent on their children to take care of them. People don't just die prematurely. They also, their health deteriorates so rapidly they can't enjoy their later years.
So if you eat this way and you avoid heart disease and, let's say, cancer, what does you win at the end?
Well, you know, it is possible, and a lot of people are seeing, you know, that people do this and live a long time. You know, for example, anyway, I can't forget his name, but anyway, the Nearings, who he died at the age of about 101, but he died of fatigue and his sleep. You know, a lot of people die in their sleep, certainly in the years before, and we do see animals kind of like pass away with weakness and very gentle, and the deterioration is very close to the end of life. It's like the last few weeks they deteriorate and they die. So you don't really have to be sick and lose your memory and lose your intelligence and lose your, be able to see and to walk around and feel good. You don't have to lose that. So I think that that nutritional excellence affords people a tremendous gift of later life health and enjoyment of life.
Right.
And the idea that people could argue and say, yeah, that could be true, but then who's going to enjoy their life eating berries and carrot sticks the rest of your life? But you know, I did in a study, too, we've shown that with the recipes we use today, with the foods we're preparing, we actually have shown that people enjoy this way of eating just as much as their old diet or more. It's
right.
Delicious, and people, once they get used to it for a few months, they actually like it just as much or better. It's not true that they're eating junk food, you know.
Are you a vegan yourself, or...?
No, I'm not. I eat some animal products here and there. I don't think you have to be a vegan to have great health. But a lot of vegans are in poor health because they're eating processed foods.
Right.
You have to eat mostly natural foods, and you can eat a little bit of animal products. But I use animal products, condiments, occasions, but not as much as the average American does, of course.
Sounds like you have to learn how to prepare food, too. That's part of the challenge.
That's right. Absolutely.
Dr. Joel Fuhrman, the brand-new book, The End of Heart Disease, The Eat to Live Plan to Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Joel Fuhrman. Doctor, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for the great interview.